We're talking with Rabbi Mark Tenenbaum, January 10th, 1990. And I know that the AJC had a very important role in the Martin Luther King campaign. It actually occurred to me that, that seemed to me we talked about the speech at the Conference of Religion and Race in Chicago a bit last time. And I actually spoke with Taylor Branch, and he had a part in his book that was about that, but it was cut out of his book.
Really?
So that apparently was a very important time for Martin Luther King himself. He said, Taylor Branch said that this was a preparation for the letter from the Birmingham jail, that he was trying out some ideas.
Birmingham jail and the March on Washington.
That's right. So what kind of involvement did the AJC have in the civil rights movement? I mean, it had to be before 1963, but it's very curious. See, my father was involved in the NAACP, and from my perspective, I was, as a young man, from his, as an NAACP, you know, official, the NAA was involved all this time, and then the younger organizations got on the bandwagon, or at least King built on that. But I wasn't aware that the AJC had some sort of systematic involvement with civil rights, and then which might have culminated in the participation in the Selma Montgomery March and other, in the March in Washington.
I think the most important contribution that AJC made at the outset is that in the 1950s we began a series of studies. It's called Studies of Prejudice. It produced five volumes of fundamental social scientific, social psychological research in prejudice and bigotry. The core book, core study, was called The Authoritarian Personality. And Dr. John Slauson, who recently passed away, who's a social psychologist himself and the executive vice president of the committee, he brought me to the committee in 1960. Slauson was deeply troubled by the fact that apparently everyone in the civil rights movement and Jewish community were dealing with symptoms. And he felt that there was a need to diagnose the nature of the disease itself. Because what are the psychodynamics? And so he started this with a German school of social psychologists who were the leading people in the field. And Adorno and others who produced the Authoritarian Personality and the F scale. The impact of that was to set the intellectual reconceptualization of how to deal with prejudice.
Very interesting.
Because the fundamental thesis was that the source of the problem is the psychopathology of the victimizer. And the victim cannot be held responsible for the disturbance of the victimizer, who had this obsessive need to work out hatred toward blacks and Jews and others. The authoritarian personality kicked off a tremendous storm, but it led to a basic reconceptualization of the entire approach, both toward civil rights as well as to toward anti-Semitism.
Very interesting.
It was bedrock study.
Now, was this connected with the New School? Or
no, it was done, there was the Frankfurt School, the Max Planck School, the Max Planck School of Social Psychology, Social Science in Germany, who had a brilliant team of people, investigators, and it was done in the early mid-1950s. It also was fed for us through John Slauson's extraordinary mind by the Nazi Holocaust.
Yes.
Slauson was haunted by the notion, how could this happen in a country of such great culture and intellectual achievement, etc.? And he was trying to answer the old Latin question, under malum, what is the source of the evil? It was, if you really were going to try to contain it in the future, you had to understand the elements. The dynamics was contributing to it. So that was
very, very,
the major contribution. And it just transformed the whole field. It transformed the rhetoric of the NACP.
Really?
As well as of all the Jewish groups after a while.
How do you
well,
know that?
Instead of asking for the government to help blacks, developed a whole assertive approach. Go after the criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Go after the haters.
Yes.
Go after the killers. They are responsible for it.
Yes.
And whatever is necessary in terms of civil rights to protect interests had to be much more aggressive than simple anti-discrimination laws.
Mm-hmm. So this is the mid-1950s, you say?
Yeah.
What relation is this kind of development of social psychology to the 1954 Board of Education Supreme Court decision?
Well, it was critical.
So perhaps they were simultaneous but not related.
One of the people who was involved in the study was a black scholar, Clark.
Oh, Kenneth Clark, yes.
Kenneth Clark. Kenneth Clark participated in some aspects of that study.
Hmm.
And the committee provided him as a witness in relation to the Supreme Court decision.
Yes.
Clark's testimony was based in large part on the studies that he had done with us.
With the AJC?
Yeah.
On the effects of segregated education? I see. Could you clarify a little more what the AJC was doing that Clark used for his testimony? Because I know his testimony was absolutely crucial.
Yeah. Well, we had I wasn't personally active in that because I was not at the committee then at that time, in the 50s, mid-1950s. I came in the 60s. But I had conversations with John Slauson, Kenneth Clark, and others.
Mm-hmm.
And Clark worked with us for many years in the 60s. Conferences, seminars, constantly pushing forward.
Yes.
And but I can't go into too great detail of it, but it's simply a matter of one would have to just simply look at Clark's testimony.
Very, very interesting.
Which he acknowledges the role of the American Jewish Committee.
Yes, yes.
And but his testimony was crucial. And he, early on, until he became angry with the Jewish community, always acknowledged how critical that work was and what strong support it had given him as a social scientist to make his case. But for the rest of that, I mean, it would be, there's a history of the American Jewish Committee, which has a whole chapter on that.
Yes.
Naomi Cohen's book.
Right.
Yeah,
I haven't studied that yet.
Not Free to Desist. But there is a chapter there dealing with the 50s.
Yeah, and 60s. So you think that's adequate?
In fact, that's a good chapter, I mean, good two sections to deal with the 50s and 60s.
Yes.
Which would document the role of the civil rights movement as well. So that, I mean, that was, from my point of view, one of the most important contributions we made.
Yes.
And first of all, to change the intellectual consciousness of the elite of America.
Yes, that's very important.
Brain trust
of
America.
Yes.
Including the government. And the courts and lawyers and judges.
Yeah.
Then, since the committee saw itself as applied social science, so that it took whatever insights it gained from these programs and began applying it to meetings around the country. Blacks and Jews, civil rights groups and Jews. We'd set up an ongoing relationship with the NACP, the Urban League. In fact, it was a very close relationship between Roy Wilkin, Whitney Young, and John Slauson. And occasionally, when I came to the committee, I to sit in on some follow-up seminar
yes.
that took place. But Whitney Young was Roy Wilkins were both extremely appreciative
yes.
of the role of the committee.
John Morcell must have been involved
yeah,
with that
Marcel
because
was,
he
yeah.
was Wilkins' assistant and a trained
right.
sociologist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played an important role in
yeah.
that. So, while obviously and necessarily much of the political action and the marches and demonstrations have gotten most of the attention,
yes.
This aspect of it is almost always overlooked.
Yes.
And if anyone has any feeling about the history of ideas, which changes consciousness of
that's
whole
right.
society.
That's right.
That's where most of that
I really think that's tremendously important
yeah.
because not only for the fact of historical truth, but Heschel's approach, you know, is not a local one, as, you know, Martin Luther King's movement began as a local movement.
Mm-hmm.
Heschel approached the problem of civil rights through the pathology of racism, I believe, and, you know, his theological view
yeah,
that
moral,
a human being...
Ethical.
That's
moral
right.
ethical approach.
Right.
He really was not that competent in social sciences. I mean, he had a kind of very intelligent understanding of social mm. sciences. But his great power was his moral ethical
That's right.
conscience, in which he talked about, you know, the horrors, the tragedies. I remember once saying to me, after we were talking something about the civil rights movement, Martin King, etc., and bad episodes, blacks being beaten up in the South, and voter rights discrimination. He said, "Mark, America stinked.
Hmm.
This country stinks.
Yeah.
How could allow things like this go on?"
Yeah.
And he had that kind of rage. He really was prophetic. Mm.
He
rage.
Said that to you in Yiddish?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the stink.
Yeah.
And he felt that way about many things in other parts of the world as well, the fact of anti-Semitism. You know, with all of the intellectual achievement in science and technology, the world was at a horse and buggy stage
yeah.
in terms of social attitudes
That's
and
right.
human relationships. Well, those were elements in it. After that, the committee got involved in all the things that all the Jewish organizations got involved in.
Mm-hmm.
We helped organize. We sent out messages to all of our chapters around the country. I've seen some of those memoranda not too long ago. Mars Abram was president around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And calling on all of our chapters to organize delegations. To go to Selma,
mm-hmm.
to Birmingham.
I see.
But other Jewish groups were all doing that as well. And
yes.
The former rabbis went down to Birmingham and got
yeah.
arrested
yeah.
at Martin King's request.
So do you know how that started, or is it just enough to say that at a certain point, what is it, in the very early 60s, the Jewish groups, liberal Jewish groups, did become involved? Would that be enough, you think? And synagogues and rabbis, mostly Reform rabbis.
Reform and conservative.
And
some conservative.
Yes. Fewer conservative.
Yeah, the Reform rabbis were much more active in social justice. I mean, you know, the whole theme of prophetic prophets, the prophets and social
yeah.
justice, was a core idea
yes.
in Reform Judaism in a way that it was not yet in conservative Judaism.
Yeah.
Conservative Judaism was still trying to work out its identity between Reform and Orthodox, and was sorting out how much ritual and
mm-hmm.
much greater preoccupation with the internal identity issues.
I see.
With some concern for social justice
yeah.
issues. Or individual rabbis who took part in some things. But the Reform movement had it as a matter of policy
yes.
To participate.
Yeah.
And Reform rabbis, to whom the issues of social justice, social ethics, also had a substantial literature by Reform scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Kaufman Kohler, I remember, Kronbach. I mean, Kronbach had a very strong left wing.
Yes, yes. Arthur Lilienfeld.
Father. Lilyvale, sure.
What was Lilyvale doing at that period?
He went to Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
Got arrested.
Yeah.
He was beaten up. Life was threatened.
Was he a rabbi of a congregation?
Yeah, in Cleveland.
In Cleveland. Is he in Washington now? Where is he?
He's still in Cleveland.
Oh, he is.
I think he's retired. His son is Joe Lilyvale.
Yeah.
New York Times.
Yeah.
But there were others. There was Perry Nussbaum in Jackson, Mississippi, whose life was made a hell by the racists there. And he identified himself with the black community in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Threatened to kill him. He used to put sand into his gas tank, threatened to blow his house. And one fact, his house was once blown up.
Yeah.
The synagogue was once attacked. So, I mean, rabbis in the South who became involved, there were rabbis in Atlanta, for example, Jack Rothschild, who was very close to Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. One of the first supporters of Martin Luther King.
Really?
In Atlanta.
Is he still around?
No, he's died.
Mm.
But his successor has also been very good on these issues.
Yeah.
Sugarman.
I met him.
Yeah,
he's
nice
a lovely
person.
Guy.
Lovely guy.
Yeah.
I keep in touch with him from time to time. See, the point, I think the underlying issue was that almost unlike some Christian groups who had to develop a rationale for helping blacks,